I remember finding out about one of Selena Su's courses, and I ended up getting on a sales call with one of her team. And at the time, I just said, I don't think I can pay this money. Like, I actually had almost all of that money, most of it in savings. But I'm such an accumulator when it comes to like money archetypes. And I'd always had so much fear around money because of things like from growing up. And I could have taken that step forward, but I was still holding myself back, like a lot of people do when it comes to writing a book. It's just the blocks in your head. And I had this conversation with the salesperson, and she really just stopped and just spoke very honestly with me. And she said, Jazz, I don't want you to feel pushed. This is not a sales tactic. And she said, but you just started crying when you talked about the impact that you want to create on the world. And
Fearless and Successful Podcast is hosted by Coach D. That is me. Designed for change makers just like you. As a coach, activator of human potential, and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to inspire you to dream big, plan for success, and impact the world. I love all things mindset, money, and manifestation. So I will be sharing my favorite tips and tricks to help you activate your infinite potential by taking aligned and inspired action. You can also expect fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. If we can do it, so can you. If you're ready, my fearless friend, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, fearless people. We are heading to Australia. Wow. It doesn't happen so often that I have people from that side of the world, but this is going to be absolutely, it's an honor and a real true pleasure to have Jazz Rawlinson coming on the Fearless and Successful podcast, because she's a gem and she's a mermaid. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So cool. I'm going to go into a brief intro, and then we're going to dive into your story, what you do and how you make this world a truly, truly better place. So Jazz is an award-nominated book coach, ghostwriter, and best-selling author who empowers emerging female leaders to transform their life stories into powerful nonfiction books that create global impact. Throughout her career, she has impacted hundreds of thousands of lives through global media outlets, including Business Insider and Yahoo Finance, and is also an anti-human trafficking ambassador who has spent time with survivors and investigators in SE Asia, endorsed by her profile names, including Kevin Hines and Lifeline. Jazz speaks regularly on issues such as domestic violence and suicide prevention, and in 2022 will feature in front of 100 million people via the award-winning TV series Adventure All Stars as part of her mission to end child trafficking. I always, when I see you and what you're doing in the world, it always gives me the sense of what the fuck is going on, what is wrong with this world. And also thanks God that we have people like you who are really, really through their work, through their gifts, through their superpowers, actually making changes that have like really profound impact. So thank you.
I really appreciate your words. I mean, you are right, and I do feel like that a lot, and it's one of the reasons I don't watch the news anymore and haven't for a number of years. Particularly when you're someone who's in an advocacy role, the vicarious trauma can just get too much, and so I have to tune out a lot of stuff, because unfortunately in the world and just in what we hear in the daily news, there's just this kind of stuff just constantly. But I am a big believer in being part of the solution as opposed to just turning a blind eye. And I know that not everybody can, you know, take on an advocacy role, and I never expect that. But I think that we can all pick something in this world that we feel passionate about and sort of make a commitment to being part of the change and taking action, whatever that is. And my work is all about, you know, raising awareness of different forms of abuse worldwide. But I think we should all pick something that we feel passionate about and just take little steps to be part of, you know, part of the solution and part of a better world.
Mm. And take us back. What inspired you to do this work? And not just as a writing coach and speaker, but actually to be an advocate for victims.
Mm. I think the thing that really empowered me to want to take action and be an advocate was actually a music and arts festival that I went to about a decade ago. And I was in a really low point at that particular time. I was pretty depressed, very purposeless. It's really interesting to think that that was only about 11, 12 years ago, because I was a completely different person. I had been out of university for a couple of years. I could not get a job in my field. I had studied psychology and creative writing, and I'd moved interstate to try and find work. And I'd spent a year working in retail and just feeling every day like I had no purpose. Like I actually felt like something was dying inside of me every day when I went to work in this retail job. And I would look around at people around me, some were in their 30s and 40s. I was 25 or 24 at the time, I think. And I just couldn't understand how so many people around me were settling for a life that didn't bring them any joy. You know, they would say, oh, you know, I hate it here, but, you know, what else am I going to do, kind of thing. And I actually ended up getting fired from a job that I had at the time to go and volunteer for a weekend at this music and arts festival. And I remember sitting on the beach when I found out that my boss was basically letting me go. I was only sort of newish to this job, and she didn't like me taking some time off. And even though it was only a couple of days, and I had this moment of, oh, I should apologize and get my job back, because I hate disappointing people. It was a real people pleaser. But then I had this moment of, well, is this all you want to do, Jazz? You know, at that time I was working in a bulk health foods place, shortly after the retail place. And I went, is this all you want for your life? And I decided no. Like, I would rather go and volunteer at this festival than to just have some money at a job. So I ended up going to this festival and volunteering as a photojournalist for a couple of days, and got to photograph and interview amazing people, you know, even some bands, like massive bands from the United States. And it was there that I found out about an organization called Destiny Rescue, a not-for-profit that rescue and rehabilitate children from the sex industry, children and young women. And I think it wasn't necessarily the first time I'd heard about human trafficking, but it was the first time that it actually resonated with me. And I think the reason was because when I walked into this documentary screening and I saw the faces of some of these young women, and I saw a table filled with photographs of young women who needed sponsorships, and I went, holy shit, like these are not statistics. Like, these are real people. And some of these little girls were 15 and had already been out of the industry for 3 years. So I'm just going, you've got kids here who are like 13, 12 when they've been rescued. And, you know, that was just, yeah, crazy to me. So that was what kind of introduced me to it. And then, I really started to take steps to start advocating and doing some volunteer work with Destiny Rescue and some other places. And that eventually led to me going overseas to Southeast Asia and seeing the places that a lot of these young women and children had been rescued from, and then seeing the girls who'd been through rehabilitation and seeing the joy and the smiles on their faces, and that they were living life as teenage girls should, And it was just incredible to see those two sides of the coin, you know, like how dark things could be, but then how like the hope and healing that can happen as well.
Wow, it's just like it I have like goosebumps. My daughter is 15 years, and I'm just thinking, holy, like, you know, I can't even imagine how it might feel to see young women who already got out of the industry at the age of 13. Like, I can't, that's like, I don't know how how you must felt, but you know, that sparked when you were like really in a, not at your lowest, but really you found inspiration and something that will really lift you up also through someone else's adversities is just remarkable.
It was interesting, you know, learning about, I've spoken about this a lot, like the power of volunteer work and how much that can help you reroute your life when you do feel really low. And for me, I needed to find a sense of purpose somewhere, and I needed to learn what I was here to do and the things that really lit me up. And it wasn't until I was doing volunteer work that I started to go, okay, this is where I want to use my writing gifts. Because before that, I was just kind of trying to find a writing job anywhere I could. But I went, no, I want to write about these important social issues. I don't just want to write about celebrities or fashion or whatever. And so that was the start of sort of finding my voice. And then through that, you know, doing some volunteer writing and blogging, and then eventually turning that into book writing, writing books of my own, and then creating a business where I now teach other women how to tell their stories and write their memoirs or nonfiction books as well. So volunteer work was kind of what led to everything else in the future.
Yeah, amazing. It really is like, you know, when life sucks, and it's really like, oh, you know, what is happening? Trying to find that light in anything that, you know, I think people, and I'm not talking about like this, you have to find positive in anything. But it's really sometimes, not sometimes, but life really doesn't make mistakes. And it got you to this beautiful path where you are truly transforming people's lives. So what happened since? So a decade later, you are really doing a significant work, transforming that shame into unshakable strength. How do you do it? And how does that feel now, knowing that you are really, truly making a difference in the world?
I'm trying to think about how to answer that, because I still really struggle with celebrating my achievements and actually recognizing what I've achieved. So even when, whether it's yourself or someone else talks about, you know, what you've achieved, and it sort of still feels very surreal. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. I just keep moving forward. And that's kind of always been my, not always, you know, but the last, I'd say 5 years or so, or 6 years or so, has really been about just small steps forward. Because my background, you know, for those who aren't aware, is I grew up in a home with family violence and then lost my dad to suicide when I was 18, and then went through a sexual assault at age 20. So I was in a real rock bottom moment, really, by the time I hit 21. And back then, I really didn't have the drive or the mindset that I have now. Back then was just about surviving. And it really was about just one day at a time. But I certainly didn't have that. I wasn't thinking about what great things do I want to achieve in the future, because I didn't think that was possible. But it was probably about, 5 years ago, when I just had a random idea that I wanted to write a book, and I decided I'm going to do it, because why not? And then it was maybe a year later that I was working with Selena Su, who you of course know very well. And I was doing one of her programs, and she said, Jazz, why don't you just teach people how to write books? Because you've written a book, and you know, you've done a lot of mentoring and free writing coaching and mentoring for people to teach them how to write their stories, because at that time I'd been working with survivors of trauma, specifically suicide, child abuse, domestic violence, and helping them learn how to craft their life journey into a sort of, you know, 3,000 word mini essay that showed them how far they'd come and actually showed them how to transform that shame into unshakable strength, which was where, through the power of storytelling and seeing their journey and where they were now, they would literally look at the page and go, oh my gosh, like I never realized that I've come so far. Like I just didn't realize, because I've been stuck living, I've just been sort of living my life and I didn't realize how much I'd actually come through, and that I'm so much stronger than I was. And I actually now feel so empowered and proud of myself. And so it was kind of Selena who picked that up and said, well, you've been doing this as a bit of a creative project. Why don't you just make it your business? So that was kind of a, you know, that's sort of a wrap up of how I got into doing this work about, you know, four or five years ago. But yeah, for me, like transforming, when we talk about transforming shame into strength, I really do believe that writing is one of the most powerful ways to do that. And it's definitely been the case for me, because as I said, it's not until you actually write out your story on paper or on your computer, read it back, that you actually recognize what you've been through, and then realize often that there's no shame in what you've been through. And in fact, there are often gifts that can be found amidst, you know, the mess as well. You know, I don't want to downplay anybody's trauma, because specifically a lot of the women that I work with have been through things like child abuse. And that's, you know, like all my respect and love to anybody who's survived that and then gone on to choose life and push their way onwards and upwards. But there are also unexpected gifts that can be found through the adversities that we've been through. And there's many of my clients that have said, well, you know, the abuses or the traumas I've been through have really deepened my empathy. And that's allowed me to do the work that I do as a coach, or, you know, it's allowed me to be a better friend or a better partner, or it's really taught me to just appreciate like the small moments of beauty, or to really appreciate and not take my relationship for granted, because I know how special it is to be loved for who you are. So yeah, that's what I love about the power of writing when it comes to turning that shame into strength and seeing how far you've come.
So good. I just wanted to add that there is something really powerful in writing. I've never been a writer. I'm such a speaker. I always say this, but when I started to write my book, it was so much of a healing to just, yeah, as you said, put it on the paper, that I actually said to my book coach, I said, you know, this is going to be a selfish project just for me. I don't even need to publish it. It's just so good for my soul. I remember some of my clients, like my closest clients, when I told them, like, I'm writing this book and it really feels good. It would show, like, so they would ask me, something is different with you, right? But it was really that self-discovery that was happening. Wow, I went through this and this and this. And that really is this humbling moment. Wow, I came so far, right? Through all these adversities. And they would ask me, like, something is different with you.
They can sense it.
Right. And I said, like, I'm writing a book. And they said, like, wow, I can't wait. And I'm like, I'm not publishing this. And they were like, what are you saying? And it was really like this, I felt this is for me, like, this is so good. Mm. It's such a selfish act or self-love act, like really to feel my...
I love that distinction, like a self-love act, because I have had people say to me, I'm not sure I actually want to publish this, but I really want to do it for me, first of all, for my healing, and then to help others from that. Mm. And there's no right answer. I mean, anybody can write a book for whatever reason they want. The only thing is, if you are going to publish it, of course, you want to also make sure that it's going to resonate with your ideal reader or client. But if you're just writing it for yourself, there's just no problem with doing that. Sometimes people think, oh, I have to have some big grandiose dream and, you know, I have to want to do this to get to become a TEDx speaker or something like that. But for a lot of people, it starts off as a healing journey. And even my latest book, you know, it's coming out in the next week or so, that was definitely, it was for me and for my audience as well. But I went through a really unexpected healing journey writing this book, and there have been some insane things that have happened in the last 2 weeks to me in terms of unexpected signs, like a sign that I received from my dad, which I never thought I would even want. You know, my dad and I didn't have a close relationship. And so, I've spent a lot of years being very angry at him. And then about 2 weeks ago, we were driving to the beach one day, and I think it was the day after I submitted my manuscript to my publisher. And I was like, it's done, you know, it's out there. And then I turned on the radio and heard the song that played at my dad's funeral. Like, I haven't heard that song for, like, I probably haven't heard it for 10 or 15 years. Like, it's not a popular, like, it's not a song that you'd hear all the time. And so, yeah, like, that was really amazing. And then I randomly was like, God, can you give me a sign if my dad's actually, if he's actually proud of me and he's out there and he cared about me, and he just maybe couldn't show that because of his own issues. Can you show me this really random sign? And it was something completely random that was kind of special to the two of us growing up. And then I saw it a few days later while scrolling on YouTube, and I've just had really random things happen. And so, yeah, like, this book has brought up an unexpected healing journey for me as well, which has been really interesting.
I do believe that there are so many synchronicities when you are open to it. Like, and one of the things that really I when I started to journal, for me, that was that point where I just was open to anything, to receive anything. Because when you kind of empty your mind, like, you empty your bowl, like, you have that space, you create the space to actually receive something else. And for me, that was always like emptying what it is inside, and then, like, you're ready to receive. So these signs are always kind of a flowing, we just are not receptive. So I think writing is, even if you're just journaling, writing is one of the tools that really allows you to be in the flow and to be able to receive all the signs from the universe, God, your guides, whatever that is. So it's so potent. It's really, really cool. And also the ripple effects. I want to talk about that. It's not just like the women, the female leaders that you work with. I think a lot of times we have whole bunch of army behind us that we are actually impacting unknowingly or consciously, unconsciously. For me, that is always my kids. I would say, like, my book will definitely be legacy for them. And this is a very, very big ripple. They will go out there and they will create ripples. So it's not just, oh, you are creating this impact on the people you work with, but there's, like, whole army around these people. And that is just so.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's very true. I dedicated my newest book to my son. And I thought of him with the three previous books that I did as well. You know, the previous books I did were part of an anthology series. It was called Reasons to Live, One More Day Every Day. And they were stories from people all around the world who had overcome severe adversities. And some of them had grown up with really privileged lives, and some had literally grown up in orphanages in Southeast Asia, you know, just miles apart in terms of, or worlds apart in terms of what some of these people experienced, but yet they had all had common journeys of, you know, struggle, or maybe it was addiction or mental illness, whatever it was. and hearing from them, you know, how they came out the other side. And just really creating those books, I really created them as a legacy for my son, because I don't want him to ever feel the way that my dad felt, where, you know, he thought that it was weak to speak out. He thought it was weak to get support for his feelings. And I don't ever want my son to feel that he needs to hide his feelings or his emotions and that he's alone with those things. So for me, like, that series was definitely a legacy, like you talked about with your story. And then my newest book, which is called The Stories We Carry, that's definitely a legacy for him as well. And I hope for other members of my family. Like, I've had some conversations with, even like a conversation with a family member recently who was like, I haven't been able to follow, like, I haven't been able to read a lot of your stuff over the years, because for me it was too triggering at that time, because of that, you know, because of their own journey with abuse and things like that. And they said, but I also feel that it's not healthy for me to keep avoiding these conversations and topics forever. And I think it's time that I started to read some of your stories and your books and become more aware of how I can actually start moving through these traumas and just, you know, stop hiding from it all the time. Stop trying to always avoid anything that's going to be a trigger, because you also don't grow if you're forever avoiding triggers. You have to learn to work with them, and then eventually, hopefully, some of those triggers will fade away and you'll have less to deal with. Or they may still be there, but they may be dampened. And, you know, I had another family member as well that was like similar, like has always avoided, I guess for a long time, I thought, oh, this family member doesn't really care about the work I do. They don't appreciate it. They don't see me. I don't feel valued. I just feel like they don't even notice what I do in the world. They don't care. But maybe in the last year or so, they've said, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm so proud of you for the way that you are talking about your experience growing up. And I actually think it's time that I start going down that path as well and addressing things that I've kept to myself and hidden away for a long time. So yeah, the legacy is a big part of it. And a lot of people, I just think, you know, so many people are missing out by not writing a book or not exploring creative writing. And like you were saying before, you don't have to have a name to publish it. But I really do believe that a large majority of our world would be better off if they wrote a book, even as a creative project, or even just did, you know, some autobiographical writing, to, 'cause you discover so much about yourself through that. So yeah, I'm a big believer in the power of storytelling and a big encourager in people doing that. I totally agree with you.
So cool. And it's so, like, I think what also it's evident that with your family members is like, you're being such an inspiration on people who might not consider that. And we truly don't know what kind of inspiring work we do, because sometimes people don't say like, hey, you inspire me. We have people who say, like, our clients, they're super inspired by, but there are also these hidden gems who never say, but then they are like, wow, you really moved me and your work really. And I think for those people who are hiding somewhere, it's even more important that we always show up with the work that we do.
Oh yeah. And that reminded me that maybe only a couple of months ago, I got an email from a lady here in Australia, I think it was, and she actually wrote in with a question, and it was a very sensitive question about, you know, whether she should write a book about her particular experience, and because it involved her her child as well, she wasn't sure whether it was a good idea or not. And so I was talking with her via email about that, and then she said, oh, by the way, I wanted to thank you. I didn't actually tell you, but I picked up a copy of one of your Reasons to Live books a couple of years ago when I was in therapy because of the issues that our family had been going through. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah, it was in my psychologist's office, and they had a bookshelf of books to borrow, and yours just really stood out to me. And I picked it up, and yeah, like she said, thank you. Like it honestly gave me reasons to live at that time where I felt like I didn't really have any. And I was like, oh my gosh. And you so rarely hear from your readers as an author, unless you're someone that's got a massive platform, maybe like Glennon Doyle. But I just went, oh my gosh, you know, you just never know the impact that you will have, like through your work, whether it's advocacy, whether it's as an author. That one in particular just made me go, oh my gosh, like if I ever feel like giving up, I just need to read that message again and remember that there are going to be so many people out there whose lives will be positively impacted through that, yeah, ripple effect of my books, but I may never hear from them, but that doesn't mean that it's not happening.
They are there for sure. And I think like this is the real reasons to live. Like we are creating, we just don't know, we are really creating impact. Also what you mentioned, this is a question that I might have. When you are actually, for me, one of the biggest reasons why I might not choose to publish it, it's because there are other people involved, right? And it's really, it's not to blame anyone. It's really about from this place of I'm taking full responsibility for what was my part. But it sometimes can feel like, oh, I'm involving this person as a part of my healing and growing journey. How do people go about it? And it's not about, for me, it was not about abuse or anything like that, but you know, it might feel sometimes that that is a block. People don't want to share their story because there are some other people involved. How would you go about that?
Yeah, that is a huge block for a lot of people that I speak to. And it's one of the main ones that actually stops people from sharing their story. A lot of the time, you know, for a lot of people, it is abuse related, because they're scared of that person finding out, or maybe they just had a toxic family and they're scared of what what other people might say. And the first thing I always say is the first thing you've got to think about is it actually, am I actually physically safe sharing my story? Because a lot of people get confused between actually being unsafe and just feeling unsafe because they're about to step out of their comfort zone. And that's a really big one. Like a lot of people will literally block themselves from writing a book because they think, oh, I'm going to get judged. And in reality, there's no reason for them to, like they're not unsafe in speaking up. They could actually share this story if they have somebody like a book coach or somebody even maybe with a legal background to give them some advice. But a lot of people just block themselves because they're about to step out of their comfort zone. But you do need to go, am I actually safe by doing this? If it is safe for you to speak out under your own name, then the next thing I say is if you are writing about children, I'll always say that's a no. Like that's a really big no-no. You can include, you know, things about your children in your book, but if it includes really personal details, maybe a trauma that your child's been through, especially abuse, that's not your story to tell. So I always say just keep your children out of it, unless it's about, you know, just general talk about your kids or what it's like being a parent, those day-to-day things, because you never know how your child is going to feel about that in years to come. So that's a big one. It sounds very obvious, but sometimes people still don't think about it. The next one is, this is a big one around mindset, you know. So for example, a lot of people block themselves and go, I'm really scared of being judged, or I'm really scared about talking about, you know, how I got through a marriage that maybe wasn't necessarily abusive, but I don't want that person to get really upset with me, especially if we still co-parent. And what I say to people is, obviously, if you feel that you need to seek legal advice, do that. I just want to preface this by saying I'm not a legal expert, but most of the time, if you stick to telling your story, how something impacted you and how you got through that, you can usually do that fairly easily. And again, you will probably want to get the support of a book coach. This is something that I support a lot of my clients through because it's kind of, it can be tricky to navigate. But yeah, you just need to keep the story to your experience. So rather than going into all the background of that person and maybe all the things that made them the way they are, you know, share your truth. It's your story to share. I say this a lot to people, you know, as long as you're safe, you're not in physical harm by sharing a story. Remember that it's your story. You know, this happened to you and you have every right to tell it. I work with a lot of people who've had narcissistic parents and families. And so again, they're very nervous about speaking out. And I say, keep it to your experience. Obviously you never name the person. Obviously you change details to make it less obvious, to make sure that, you know, anybody who doesn't know that person would certainly not be able to work it out. And sometimes if it's been a marriage, I'll say, you know, talk about it as a relationship. You don't actually have to say it was a marriage unless that's crucial to the story. There's always small details you can change. But yeah, it's very specific to the person. So that's why when I'm working with a client, we'll actually work out how to tell their story and what we need to do that around whatever specific fears or blocks that they have. But yeah, there's a lot to it. But as I said, a lot of people just block themselves because they're actually just, they're uncomfortable with actually owning their story. Like that's what it comes back to. You know, when I dig deep with clients and especially, you know, I get a lot, I have a lot of EFT and tapping resources that I give my clients. And when they do those EFT exercises or when we talk through it, they often realize that the fear is not actually about the person finding out. It's because they don't feel completely grounded in themselves, and they don't feel completely, they're not completely owning their story. Because once you can stand in the truth of what you went through and say, well, this is my story and I'm going to tell it how it happened, how it impacted me and how I got through it, then it's much easier to tell the story when you have that confidence. And again, that comes back to that, you know, transforming your shame into strength. When you can own your story, it's much easier to work through those blocks.
That's so, so good. It really, this is like the golden nuggets. And I feel like people who already like got inspired by you, by your story. And I think also like kind of a permission. Yeah, it's okay to share your story. Not just okay, but it's really encouraged to share your story because it has not just impact on a person that it's writing, but also other people. And now through this, just being aware of these blocks, I think people who are ready, you have a beautiful gift for those people, right? So tell us, like, what is the next step that you would love our listeners to do if they are ready to really publish, write their story?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so if there is anyone listening who you do feel that it's time for you to step up and own your story and you're really looking for that support to do so, you can download a free checklist that I've put together for aspiring authors. It's my 14 steps from aspiring to published or from, you know, big idea to author of impact checklist. And that will take you through the 14 steps that you actually need to know that will, you know, take you from the idea to being a published author who's creating change across the world. And it's really interesting because a lot of people just think, oh yeah, I've got to write a book and then, you know, I've got to find someone to publish it and, you know, do up a book cover and that's about it. But there's, you know, from publishing now, almost published four books, about to publish four books. There's about 14 steps that you really need to be aware of. So just knowing that before you start the process is super helpful because then you've got a bit of a timeline of what to do and what's involved in there. And there's a couple of little things that I think will be surprising for listeners that they might not have thought about. So yeah, I'd love for you to download that. You can get that at jazzrawlinson.com/author checklist. And yeah, I'm sure that link will be in the show notes too, but it's, yeah, it's just jazzrollinson.com/author checklist.
Nice. Super, super exciting. And I love that you said there will be surprises. I think most of the people don't even realize that there's not what you said, like, it's not just the book cover. There is so much. So I'm so happy and so actually excited for people to download this. To wrap this up, I would love to ask you a question we ask all our guests. And it's, I know there has been probably a lot of these kind of moments, but if you would say one fear you flipped into success, meaning, oh, there was a fearful moment, but I did it anyway. And now when I look back, wow, I'm so happy that I did it.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. And thinking about so many. Do you want one in regards to business? Is that yes. What you were saying? Yes. Or just, yeah, in regards to business? Let me think. I think just the decision to actually commit to starting my own business and then continuing on with it, because that was actually, I can tell you, yeah, one specific example. And this was really a, you know, I don't know if you want to say ride or die moment, but this was really like a fail or, you know, fly moment, because after that conversation years ago where Selena Sue was saying, you know, why don't you turn this into a business? Actually, it was before that. That's right. I had only written one book at that stage and I didn't know what to do next. I was literally spending about 4 days a week with a 6-month-old baby in tow, going from business to business, trying to sell these $20 books at salons, cafes, just anywhere to just make an extra $20. And I didn't know what to do with my life. And I remember finding out about one of Selena Sue's courses, and I ended up getting on a sales call with one of her team. And at the time, I just said, I don't think I can pay this money. Like, I actually had almost all of that money, most of it in savings. But I'm such an accumulator when it comes to like money archetypes. And I'd always had so much fear around money because of things like from growing up. And I could have taken that step forward, but I was still holding myself back, like a lot of people do when it comes to writing a book. It's just the blocks in your head. And I had this conversation with the salesperson, and she really just stopped and just spoke very honestly with me. And she said, Jazz, I don't want you to feel pushed. This is not a sales tactic. And she said, but you just started crying when you talked about the impact that you want to create on the world. And please, please promise me that whether it's with us or someone else, like, please promise me you will go and get support to do this so that you can create that impact. And I was like crying, and I was like, I think, thank you. Like, I don't know, like, I'm scared. I don't know whether I should spend like this money on myself. Like, that was the thing. I was like, I feel bad spending this money on myself in a dream when I don't know if it's going to work out. And she just said, please promise me you will get support from someone so that you can achieve this goal. And yeah, the next day, after talking to my husband, like, I was so scared. I remember I was shaking and got my credit card out, and everything seemed like it was going wrong. The website kept crashing and the cart was about to close. And I think I had like minutes to spare and my credit card went through. And that was the beginning of everything. You know, that was the beginning of everything I've achieved. And sometimes I think back and go, I so easily could have stayed in that. I'm so scared to spend any money on myself. I'm scared of failing. I don't want to fail, so I'm just going to take no action. And here I am, like, 4 books later, you know, been on a reality TV show, spoken all around the world. And I wouldn't have done any of these things if I hadn't taken that leap of courage. So that's a bit of a long story, but I think that's a good one in terms of like flipping that fear into success.
I love this because it makes me like really giggle because I know so many of these stories. I've been with Selena's enrollment team for two consecutive years, and I know like what happens afterwards when people are like, "I'm just so happy that I was on the call with you, that you really gently walk me through this
gently
process."
Gave me a little bit of a push. Yeah.
But it is really seeing, and I love what you said. It's really that seeing that the work, we sometimes don't realize that if this will work, we don't know. But really, hey, if it's in your heart, if it's within you, then it has to be out there, because if it's here, it will manifest out there for sure. And I just want people to trust themselves. And if they feel called to write the book and they feel that they're ready, like, I would love to invite people to also explore how they can work with you.
Thank
and
you.
What is the best way to kind of go about that, or where to contact you?
Yeah, so just jump on jazzrollinson.com/book coaching. You can read exactly how you can work with me one-on-one. I have an amazing program called the Changemaker Author Intensive, which is great for those who are changemakers and really want to create those ripple effects across the world. But yeah, you can go to jazzrollinson.com/book coaching and just apply straight from there to work with me. And I would love to, yeah, speak with you more about your big idea that you want to create, turn into the next, you know, bestseller or life-changing book.
Nice, nice, nice. Thank you so much. We're definitely going to put all the links in the show notes. Also, all the contacts where you can find Jazz on Instagram and Facebook. Go and say hi to her. And if you felt inspired by this story, make a screenshot, tag us on your IG stories, and tell us what was your biggest aha moment. Jazz, thank you so much for showing up for this show and also for showing up for the world. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Ciao. Thank you so much, you beautiful soul, for taking the time to jump in today and listen to this episode. I know you could be doing a gazillion other things, and I don't take this lightly. I really, truly, deeply appreciate your time and your support. And if you love this episode, please subscribe if you haven't yet, and leave us a review at reviewthispodcast.com/insider. Let me say this again, reviewthispodcast.com/insider. You can leave a review on any device, which makes this super easy and sexy and really helps me to reach more people just like you. And with that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of vitamin D. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful for you. Until next time, fearless dreamer. Mwah.